The day of silence, is it coming to a school near you? And what can you do about it as a Christian parent?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, many of you celebrated yesterday as Resurrection Sunday, celebrated the resurrection of Jesus. There's an article you may have missed, though, in the Huffington Post that came out on April 3rd on the crucifixion of the Christ, telling us that we need a queer Christ to arise because the conventional Jesus is no longer enough. Oh, you missed that story. Probably a few other stories you missed as well will enlighten you today and talk to you about the day of silence, in all seriousness, something that every parent needs to be aware of, every educator needs to be aware of, and every student needs to be aware of. To get in the conversation today, here's the number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, online, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. Michael Brown, thank you so much for joining us. Let me ask first, before I get into this at all, are you a student and you've had the day of silence in your school? This is a gay activist propaganda day in the schools. Have you had the day of silence in your school? It's been on college campuses, but widely on high school campuses and also middle school campuses. And according to a teacher that called me last week from Florida, on its way into elementary school campuses. Have you been exposed to it as a student? Maybe you just got picked up from school. You're with your folks in the car now, or your mom or dad in the car. Give us a call, 866-34-TRUTH. Are you an educator? You've been involved with this coming your way in your school. Some have written to us privately. Some have tried to get on the air at different times. We weren't able to take their calls. But if you're an educator, you've been involved with this, give us a call. And if you think this is a great idea, you think this is positive, you think this is valuable, it's coming April 20th, that's just 11 days from now. You think this is a good, positive thing, and that's why it could be in as many as 8,000 schools across America this year, with guesstimates of maybe more than 500,000 kids participating in this day. If you think it's a good, positive thing, give me a call as well. We'll dialogue about it. 866-34-TRUTH. We've got a stack of notes to go through here, news stories, things of interest, some audio clips to play for you that relate to the day of silence. First, on a positive note, if you were watching golf yesterday or following the Masters golf tournament in Augusta, Georgia, one of the biggest matches, tournaments of the year, it was won by Bubba Watson. That's right. No, not a New Yorker from the Florida Panhandle. Bubba Watson. And he and his wife became followers of Jesus, oh, less than 10 years ago. And he continues to be growing in the Lord. And this is what he put out on his Twitter account before his final round of golf. And he ended up winning in a sensational fashion yesterday. Most important things in my life. This is what he put out on his Twitter account before his final round of golf yesterday. Most important things in my life. One, God. Two, wife. Three, family. Four, helping others. Five, golf. Isn't that amazing? Before the biggest golf day of his life, he puts this out saying, number one priority, God. Number two, wife. Number three, family. They just adopted a boy, Caleb. Number four, helping others. Number five, golf. What a message that sends to the sports world. Okay, we come back. We're going to focus on the day of silence, let you know how it started, let you know what its purposes are, let you know what you can do as moms and dads. And again, if you're involved with this, we've heard from faculty grieved and not knowing what they can do and what stance they can take and what they should say and shouldn't say. And what about being in the school yourself, a kid? You stay home that day. Is it an alternative to start dialogue? We'll talk about it when we come back right here on The Line of Fire.
Change the world. Change the world. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Before I discuss with you the day of silence, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. In many ways, it is actually the day of silencing. In many ways, it is actually a day of gay activist propaganda to which you cannot express objection. And expressing of objection or expressing of different points of view is somehow considered bigoted, intolerant, biased, even hateful. But I just want to remind you, friends, this is not something I went looking for. My life is very, very full. In fact, if the Lord spoke to me and said, devote the rest of your life to missions, to foreign missions alone, raising up, sending out missionaries, and going and serving those around the world, obviously I could spend the rest of my life and live to be 150 and still not finish that task. If the Lord said to me, spend the rest of your life, everything you do, all your energy in Jewish ministry, reaching Jewish people with the good news, discipling Jewish believers, equipping the body to reach Jewish believers, I could obviously do that the rest of my life and live to a ripe old age and still have work to do. If the Lord just told me, spend the rest of your life working towards revival in the Church of America, seeking God in prayer, seeking to call the church to repentance, obviously I could just do that the rest of my life. If the Lord just said to me, devote the rest of your life to biblical study, that's all you're going to do. You're going to study Scripture. You're going to write commentaries on Scripture. You're going to teach. If that's it, then I could easily spend the rest of my life doing that and live to be a ripe old age and still have more to do. I did not go looking for the issue of gay activism. It came knocking at my door. And it is, friends, the principal threat to religious freedom, freedom of conscience, moral values in our nation today. I want to say what I've said many, many times. The burden on my heart is reach out and resist. Reach out to the people with compassion. Resist the agenda with courage. And it takes courage because you will be branded a bigot, hateful. People will try to boycott you. People will come against you on every different level. And you will be marginalized and cast out in so many ways when you stand for that which is true and right. But friends, I think one reason you're listening to me right now is because you appreciate the fact that we're taking a stand and we're doing it in love and we're doing it for the sake of truth and we're doing it to honor the Lord and we're doing it because of what's best for society. These things come knocking at my door, friends, knocking at the doors of our schools. We get the requests from the families that are struggling. We get the requests from the individuals that are struggling. We get the requests from people whose religious rights and freedoms and freedom of speech and conscience are being taken from them. So here's an article in the Huffington Post. There's a picture, The Crucifixion of the Christ by Becky Jane Harrelson. And instead of saying King of the Jews over his head on the cross, it says instead F-A-G-D-O-T. Uh-huh. And this writer, Kittredge Cherry, is a lesbian Christian author and art historian and founder of JesusInLove.org, and this is what she says. Visions of a queer Christ are on the rise as Easter approaches this year. She wrote this less than 10 days ago. Because the conventional Jesus is no longer enough. Christ's story is for everyone, but lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people get excluded when conservatives use Christian rhetoric to justify hate and discrimination. Meaning, if you say, you know, God really intended for a man and woman to come together as one in marriage, or, you know, it's best for a kid to have a mom and a dad, or, you know, it would be best if that kid could work their struggles out from the inside out and live a heterosexual life. Hatred, discrimination. She writes, every community presents Jesus in their own way. There is black Jesus, Asian Jesus, female Krista, and now queer Jesus to set people free and heal some of the damage done in Christ's name. Many, including me, Kittredge Cherry writes in the Huffington Post, see, the queer Christ is a blessing that builds faith by embodying God's wildly inclusive love for all. Others attack our ideas as blasphemy. It's blasphemy. It's perverted. It's blasphemy. Jesus, being who he is the one who reaches out to us in our lostness and our depravity, whatever that may be. All of us as fallen human beings needing redemption. He reaches out to us in our lostness and depravity and changes us. He does not become sinful with our sinning. In other words, he does not become a sinner in order to save us. He takes our sins on his own shoulders and bears them away. Look, it's in my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America. In fact, let me do this today. I just feel to do it. If you become a torchbearer today, if you become a monthly supporter of our ministry, of the Line of Fire, and hold my hands up every day as I'm on the air speaking to people around America and around the world, I will send you as my thank you gift for becoming a torchbearer, supporting us with at least $25 or more per month, a copy of my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, which is a $27.99 hardcover volume, 700 pages long, and a whole chapter on queer theology that will singe your eyebrows as you read it and get you praying with tears. To do that, call us right now, 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. Kittredge Cherry writes, queer Christ images are emerging now in theology books, art galleries, on stage, in churches, and across the World Wide Web. From Sin to Amazing Grace, Discover the Queer Christ by Patrick Cheng, theology professor. The other book she cites here, extraordinary, extraordinary. Okay, one other thing, and then some audio clips, and then your calls. Huffington Post from England, this was 2 months ago. Many British schools have uniforms for boys and girls. Here is an argument being raised by Scotland's Commissioner for Children and Young People. Boys, let me read this again. This is from Scotland's Commissioner for Children and Young People, Tam Bailey. Boys should be allowed to wear skirts to school to avoid serious distress caused by gender-specific uniforms. Tam suggested forcing children to wear such skirts or trousers, depending on their gender, could contravene laws set out by the UN Convention on Children's Rights. Friends, the world needs help. The world needs help big time. Kids who are confused need help. But you do not abolish male, female. You do not abolish gender distinctions. God help us. Now, some say, no, Day of silence sounds very positive. You're getting people all up in arms over nothing. Day of silence is a positive thing. It's a day against bullying. That's how it started. Some college students wanted to speak out against bullying of gays and lesbians in school. So this is what Thomas Roberts says. He's a host on MSNBC. This is a positive day.
It would be great if all of us would remember that we need to show each other love and respect equally. So equality is my word. I think for the day of silence, we need to remember that we want to be treated as we would treat others. It's probably going to be a good thing for a lot of kids that feel bullied in their classrooms. So hopefully there are kids out there that are going to take part in this, that will give them food for thought to think twice about how they come back to school the next day to treat their classmates that they're surrounded with day in and day out.
All right, now, Janet Mefford was interviewing Candy Cushman from Focus on the Family. Focus on the Family promotes the Day of Dialogue the day before. Others are promoting a walkout on the Day of Silence itself. We'll talk about that on the other side of the break. But let's find out a little bit more about what actually happens on the Day of Silence. This is Janet Mefford interviewing Candy Cushman about this.
I just love the idea of the Day of Dialogue because we do see so many Christian kids hearing gay propaganda and being deluged with this stuff. Let's go back to the Day of Silence. Now, how long has this been around and how has this played itself out in the schools?
Well, you know, it's been around for a long time, nearly a decade now, and it started just with a group of college students. So actually, this was first intended for older students, but now GLSEN, the Gay, Lesbian, and Straight Education Network, has done a good job of infiltrating this event, you know, all the way down to middle school, sometimes even elementary, I believe. And the event is now in, I would say, nearly 8,000 middle school and high schools and some colleges today.
Wow. And what goes on during the Day of Silence? Obviously, they're silent and it's all about bringing attention to the LGBT issues. But how does it play itself out?
Right. Well, they say it's all about promoting safe schools and anti-bullying. But if you look at what they actually encourage teachers and students to do, it crosses the line in a lot of ways beyond bullying into indoctrination and just promoting homosexuality, transgenderism. For example, they encourage teachers on this day to discuss LGBT, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender themes in the classroom, to have materials on homosexuality and transgenderism displayed, books about it, in the classroom. They have encouraged students to lobby for things like, quote, a queer-friendly prom. So it really gets into transforming students into being activists for adult gay and lesbian causes.
Wait, queer-friendly prom.
That's is their
that,
word.
Is that what I think it is?
That's that any gender, any combination of genders can go to prom together. But it's a problem when you have these things being endorsed by the school.
Yeah, again, this is something you need to find out. Every parent listening, even check with elementary schools, but certainly middle school, high school, call your school and ask them, are you sponsoring the Day of Silence? It's one thing if kids say, I'm going to show up and not speak outside of class time, or unless I'm called on, I won't speak. But is the school sponsoring? You need to call your school today and ask, are you sponsoring the Day of Silence on April 20th?
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Why not just have a day that's against bullying? A day where you teach kids to be nice to other kids. Say, even if kids are different, don't be mean to them. Why not just have an anti-bullying day that everyone could say, we stand together on this, and parents and educators could all get involved? Why must it be a day that focuses on gay activist issues? That's what the Day of Silence is. It appeals to the anti-bullying issue, which all of us say bullying is wrong, period. Bullying is, you don't have to teach gay as good to teach bullying as bad, as we've expressed many times over the years. Why not just have an anti-bullying day? No, this, again, is the gay activist way of getting into the schools and indoctrinating children. Some schools even have a special week-long focus. And I've talked to kids, teens, coming home crying, just upset with the propaganda they get exposed to. And if they dare say anything different, no, it's really the day of silencing other views. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. To the phones, James in Laurel, Maryland. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yeah, Dr. Brown, thank you so much for your passion, your fire for the things of God and your devotion to His truth. I wanted to say that if we ought to have a reverse a day of the reverse view of traditional marriage. And but of course, they wouldn't allow us to have a day of silence for the reverse view of it, because that's what the day of silence is about. It's about silencing every view that is against what they're, you know, what they're for. But this isn't new for academia. If you remember back, the science community, they there was a platform for an open forum for individuals to share their views for, you know, non-creation or atheist views. And right. Once they got into position, they basically shut down the creationist views, and no longer is there a forum to be able to refute, you know, evolution. And now they're doing the same thing with this particular view. So it's not something new, but it's time for the schools to stop being exploited for groups' personal political agendas.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if we think that Christians said, okay, that Christians are being persecuted all around the world and a lot of Christians get mocked by other kids at school, and because of that, we're going to have a day in the schools, and the schools are going to participate. These are tax-funded schools. We're paying for this. And the schools are going to participate in this, and the teachers are going to talk about this. There'd be outrage all over the country. And, James, I got a call from a teacher in Florida last week. He didn't want to identify exactly what grades he taught. He identified himself as a black male teaching elementary school. He said, I don't want to say more. He was concerned that his job would be threatened if he said more. And he said that they were discussing bringing the Day of Silence into elementary schools, specifically talking about bringing it into his school. And they were saying, now we need to talk about this as a civil rights issue. We'll put pictures up like Martin Luther King and talk about civil rights. And now this is the new civil rights issue. And the question was raised, what if someone says, well, I have a religious objection to that, or according to the Bible, I don't agree with that. They said, just steer it away from that and steer it back to civil rights. I talked to other teachers, a first grade teacher and a fourth grade teacher, when I was speaking in Florida recently. Just happened to be Florida again. And they both said they can't say anything. This is elementary school. They can't say anything contrary to homosexual activism in their schools, or their jobs would be threatened. So, James, you make a very valid, broader point. Thank you for calling in, and thank you for the kind words. 866-34-TRUTH. Again, so you understand what happens. Kids will come into school, and unless they're called on to participate in class, they'll have a vow of silence that they won't talk different times during the day, and it's because of the, quote, silencing of gay and lesbian kids. Now, some people say silencing. Silencing. I mean, all we hear day and night in the media is pro-gay stuff, and all we hear day and night in the news is pro-gay stuff. I understand that, and I understand that kids do get bullied and picked on if they're perceived to be different, or boys are perceived to be sissies or whatever. I understand that. And whatever we can do to cultivate an environment of being kind to your fellow student, we ought to do that. But what will happen now is that teachers will talk about gay-specific issues in the schools. They'll raise these things. Students will talk about it. It is a day for spreading gay propaganda. Now, Focus on the Family promotes the Day of Dialogue. So go to dayofdialogue.com, encouraging kids on the day before the 19th, saying, don't be silent. Let's talk about these things. Don't be silent. Let's put the issues on the table and talk about them. I wonder what would happen, though, for kids to come in wearing a Christian t-shirt with a Bible verse on the Day of Silence. I wonder what would happen to them. I wonder if they tried to raise a contrary view. Here's one lady writing in. She says that the Day of Dialogue from Focus on the Family is sacred discrimination. Well, the Day of Dialogue says it encourages student-initiated conversations about the fact that God cares about our lives, our relationships, and our sexuality. No, it's sacred discrimination. Oh, so when we just come with a biblical viewpoint in love and say, let's talk about it, that's sacred discrimination. Another group, PFOX, which is Parents and Friends of Ex-Gays and Gays, has said, great, you've got the Day of Silence. We're going to pass around flyers talking about the possibility of change. People can come out of homosexuality. Terrible! How dare they do that? Ex-gay groups seek to infiltrate schools during Day of Silence. How dare they do that? Friends, it is a day of silencing, as James just said. All right, phone lines are jammed. I want to get to all your calls on the other side of the break. One more reminder to all of our friends listening on WAVA-FM in D.C., Virginia, and Maryland. You can catch the full first hour of The Line of Fire on the WAVA, the WAVA AM station from 5 to 6. All right. And everybody can catch 2 hours just by going to AskDrBrown.org and clicking on The Line of Fire. Back in the late 80s, my friend Sid Roth came to me. We're friends in Jewish ministry. And he said God spoke to him. It was actually in a dream. He'd never had a dream like this before. That 10 of us, 10 Jewish believers, were to write the stories of our own testimonies. And they were to come out in a book called They Thought for Themselves. Well, I wrote one a little different. My own story was why I didn't follow rabbinic tradition. Anyway, it's got the most amazing stories in this book here. And who knew what would happen? There are more than 2 million copies of this book in print right now, almost 1 million in Russia. They've gone to, I think, over 1 million homes in America. We hear amazing stories of what happens when people get them. So I want to encourage you to stand with me and to help us on the Line of Fire broadcast today. Your gift of any size to help us with this radio outreach, we are touching lives, we are making a difference, we are sounding the alarm, we are serving as a voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Your gift of any size, my thank you gift to you will be a copy of They Thought for Themselves, Sid Roth, and 10 Amazing Jewish Testimonies. So again, your gift of any size, be as generous as you can, but seriously, your gift of any size, my thank you to you will be this book, They Thought for Themselves. So call today to stand with us, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. And as I mentioned earlier, if you become a torchbearer today, my thank you to you will be a copy of my 700-page hardcover volume, A Queer Thing Happened to America, which has a whole chapter on children's schools and a whole chapter on campuses. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. Keep your focus. Jesus is Lord, but we are living in revolutionary times.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, one of the most popular shows with kids today, young people, young teens, is the show Glee, which is absolutely gay activist from beginning to end in terms of its mindset, in terms of the message that it gets across, and then sometimes in terms of its very overt themes as well. So Valentine's Day, they not only had a pro homosexual messaged show, but they also mocked the scriptures as well. They mocked anyone that held to these particular views, just biblical views about sexuality, and the joke about which apostle was the most gay and so on. Kids are being impacted by this, friends. Kids are being impacted by this, and the Day of Silence is our tax money is paying for these days when schools sponsor gay activist propaganda in the schools, and teachers will make statements, and administrators will make statements. And in some schools, it's just common knowledge. Of course, we do it. We've done it for years. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. As parents, we need to take action. And as kids, we need to take action. And as educators, we need to take action. We do it in a right spirit. We do it with love. But love is committed to the truth at any cost. To the phones, Ray in Silver Spring, Maryland, thank you for calling the line of fire.
Thank you. I have a question to ask and one brief bit of trivia. April 20th is the date, right?
Yes. It's not always fixed on that specific date each year.
It's very appropriate this year because it happens to be the birth date of a very famous homosexual, at least to man who got his enterprises started from the homosexual underground, namely Adolf Hitler. It's his birthday, April 20th.
All right. You are aware that the statement that you made has people on both sides of that issue, that most historians will argue against it, but there are some historians that support what you said.
Right. Well, we know. Okay, I don't know Hitler himself. You should really see a credible book called The Pink Swastika.
Yeah, he Scott Lively's book. And, of course, he's right. Scott is always severely attacked for that. He quotes many other scholars than other scholars have sought to debunk
and
what
he
wrote.
Unjustly persecuted, as you are, because, Mike, one thing I know, you have done everything possible to eradicate any leaven of the Pharisees to reach out to people. You've gone the extra second mile. I know that effect. I've observed you a long time, and you get lied about.
Yeah, well, that's part of it. Jesus said we would be lied
that's
about.
That's part of the job, man. We're just You're just doing your job. You're doing what you're supposed to do, and God bless you. Thank
you. By
God
the way,
another
piece of trivia, Ray, is that 67 years ago today, Dietrich Bonhoeffer was killed by the Nazis. So since you happen to mention that. But, hey, Ray, I appreciate the call very much. And let me just say this. We must speak the truth. If we speak the truth and we get maligned for it, so be it. If we speak the truth and get hated for it, so be it. If we speak the truth in love and get hated and maligned for it, so be it. Key thing is what we say is accurate, truthful, and done in the right spirit. And as Ray said, part of the territory, 866-34-TRUTH. Anam in Springfield, Virginia, thanks for calling the line of fire.
Hi.
Hello.
You know, I don't have any problems with anything you're saying except one little thing.
Go ahead.
You quoted a report from Scotland, and I wonder if you realize the irony of that, because in
the skirts,
Scotland,
kilts,
men
you mean?
Wear kilts, and
right.
Little boys wear kilts for formal things. And that's the birthplace of the utilikilt, a man's skirt that has cargo pockets all over it so that he can wear it to work. And it just, I think you used a poor argument there.
Well, you know, hang on.
Hang on.
I just want to talk to you on the other side of the break. That's a great comment, though. In point of fact, the boys wear slacks to school and the girls wear skirts. When there is gender distinction, it's understood. And this is for all of the UK, I believe. But thank you. Talk to you on the other side of the break. Stay right there.
Fire we want, for fire we please. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire today as we talk about the Day of Silence, what's happening in schools. If you're totally ignorant about it, never heard of it, go to missionamerica.com, missionamerica.com. And read the articles there by Linda Harvey and others about the Day of Silence. And even when she writes one of these articles, she gets hated and maligned for it. We're talking about gay activist propaganda in the schools, April 20th. Many call for a walkout on that day, the Day of Silence walkout. There's information on that website. You can read about it there at missionamerica.com and even a sample letter to write to your school. But find out from your school first. Call and find out if this is going to be sponsored by the school on that particular day, all right? Also, there is the Day of Dialogue that Focus on the Family promotes to open up dialogue about homosexuality the day before, April 19th. Find out about that at dayofdialogue.com. It all depends on your own convictions and the kind of kids you have and the school systems that you're in. But anyway, we lost Anam there, but I just want to, in case she had anything else to say, I wanted to give her another moment. Yeah, it is funny to raise the issue in Scotland about boys wearing skirts because of kilts in Scotland. And point of fact, there are schools in America being sued today because the mother or father, in one case, a mother who then had sex change and became the father, supposedly, figure that out, said that the daughter, the boy that he had identified as a girl at 18 months, certainly 18 months, kids have figured it all out, right? Certainly there's no confusion with your mother becoming your father, right? 18 months, the boy said he's a girl, so now the mother slash father raised him as a girl and is suing the school where he goes in rural Georgia to make him use the girl's bathroom. We got problems, friends. We got big, big problems in our society, and the salt must be salty. The salt must be the moral preservative. The salt must fight moral decay. You and I are the salt of the earth, the light of the world. This is where we stand and make a difference. Sue in Reading, Massachusetts, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing.
We have, my son is in middle school right now at the Parker Middle School here in town. They're actually having a National Day of Silence on this Wednesday because our high school's having it. And this is, we got an email last week from him saying this is the second annual National Day of Silence. And so I called him. Just my biggest concern is it's middle school, so my oldest son is 12, and I just felt that it was, you know, kind of age was inappropriate. Mm-hmm. And I also felt, because they're including in it being an anti-bullying day, and we have Massachusetts a law now that we have anti-bullying policy in all the school systems, and I have kids in elementary school, we already did a townwide. And each school did one, a day of anti-bullying, and they wore black, and you know, all my kids loved participating in that. So I talked to the principal, and I just shared my concern, saying I think it was, you know, the age-appropriate question and the redundancy, and we sort of said that they felt that this was a social justice issue. So my thoughts were just kind of coming back and trying to give them an alternative to that day and ask them to revisit it for next year. And I was going to write it nicely. And I'm thinking of keeping my son home. And we've shared the facts of life with him, so he understands things. It's just that, again, I feel like this is just not good for age 12. I just don't think they're ready for
all these. No, Sue, of course. And you're being so gracious about it in your tone as well and mature about it. You're not screaming and yelling and... You're talking about a concerned mom. Our oldest granddaughter is 11, so we're in the stage now of watching again a child grow, and you better believe this would not be age appropriate for her at 11 or 12 or around those years. And the fact of the matter is, this is not a social justice issue. This is an issue of promoting gay activism in the schools. Issue after issue is going to come up that is pro-homosexual. And in fact, as tragic as it is, when a kid kills himself for any reason, and bullying is often a cause of that, there have to be other issues for a kid to go that far to take his or her own life. We understand that. But bullying is often involved. The fact of the matter is, far, 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 far more kids are going to die of drug abuse, sexually transmitted diseases, and other things that are associated with gay lifestyle than they're going to die from suicide. No, we don't hear an outcry about that. In fact, all that will be promoted. They'll be encouraged to explore their sexuality. They'll be told that heterosexuality and homosexuality are just different variations. And in fact, you might be bisexual. And in fact, you might be trans and you need to explore these things. And those that have different views will be painted as bigoted and intolerant. So it is actually a day of social injustice. It is actually a day of promoting one view, silencing the others. And you would do very well to keep your kid home that day and to encourage other parents of like faith to do so, especially in middle school. One thing in high school where the kids might be stronger and ready to have dialogue and bring their own views to the table. But this is a day with our tax dollars where gay activist propaganda will be spread through a school. And I'm sure you'll have wisdom in writing it. Also, if you go to missionamerica.com, missionamerica.com, it'll give you some suggestions in terms of how to write a letter from an educator there. All right?
Okay. Great.
Thank you. God bless you, Sue. Friends, this is what we're up against. This is what the school already had a day, an anti-bullying day. Already had that. 866-34-TRUTH. And Angelia in Houston, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi.
Hello.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, so this is an opportunity for believers, Christian parents, to stand up for what they believe in and not come into agreement with something that's totally contrary to God's word. So as believers, we should not participate in a day of silence. We should not let our kids go to class that day, go to school that day. And then, you know, in a spirit of meekness, we should get together and go and talk to the principal and explain to them why they shouldn't be having a day of silence in their schools, and that as believers, Christians, we're not going to participate in it. This is an opportunity for believers to stand up, voice their beliefs, and not be apathetic. And
yes,
that's why this is occurring in the schools, because believers are apathetic.
Say it loud and clear.
They're apathetic. They're too afraid to stand up for what they believe in.
Yeah, it's the truth. If we were more involved and more concerned and more active, these things wouldn't be happening. Again, folks, if you go to missionamerica.com, you'll see links to Day of Silence, 10 reasons to walk out on the Day of Silence. When you click on that, more information on how to write a letter. But I am so with what you're saying, that the believing parents together, whole bunch, with a very gracious, loving spirit, sit down with the school principal and administrator and say, look, this is wrong. You're educated on it. You understand what it's about. And you come in and say, this is wrong. This is promoting values that we differ with. And in point of fact, there's a movement now in Houston that's sparked by my friend, Pastor Steve Riggle at Grace Church, Houston for Marriage, which is called on the mayor of Houston, saying, okay, we voted for you, but we voted for you to uphold what our state believes in. And our state has passed overwhelmingly a marriage amendment saying marriage is a union of a man and woman. Here the mayor is promoting redefining marriage and homosexual marriage. And Pastor Riggle and others are calling on her to either stand for what the state stands for or step down. And folks in Houston can go to HoustonForMarriage.com and sign in there. So, Angelia, may thousands follow your lead here. Keep your kids out that day, and then go as a group, believers together with a gracious spirit, find the right spokesperson, and explain to the principal and administrator why this should not be promoted in the school. Thank you for your call. 866-34-TRUTH. We'll stay in Houston. In fact, we got a few more calls in Houston. Roland, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call. You and your last callers kind of touched on my question, and that is, have you seen any evidence that the day of bullying is actually being used to kind of get propaganda in for the homosexual agenda in? And, you know, they did a story this morning on bullying, and one of the main stories that keeps coming up is the unfortunate incident that did happen in Cy Fair. And, I, you know, bullying is wrong no matter what the context is, but it seems that what they're focusing on is the gay students who are bullied.
Exactly. And exactly. And in fact, Roland, what our message, yeah, almost any time, sir, there is an anti-bullying campaign, which, of course, we support and stand with. Almost any time there's an anti-bullying campaign, it focuses on kids who identify, excuse me, as homosexual and who've taken their own lives. It's tragic, but there are kids that take their lives for other reasons. There are kids who take their lives because they just don't seem to fit. Kids pick on them, bully them. You hardly hear about that. You hardly hear about, you don't hear about special days for those kids. So absolutely, Roland, here's our message. Bullying is bad. We don't need to say gay is good. Bullying is bad. Treat other kids nicely. Why can't that be the message? Thank you, sir.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I want to read a poem to you. 866-34-TRUTH. Talk about the Day of Silence, Gay Activist Propaganda Day in thousands of schools across America, April 20th. If you want to pull your kids out on that day, especially younger kids, find out if it's being sponsored by your school. Tell your school you have moral objection to it. Go to missionamerica.com to find out more about what you can do, how you can write, how you can approach it. If you've got older kids, maybe high school, and you think that, they'll be fine and they'll be able to speak their own mind, get involved with the Day of Dialogue the day before, April 19th, sponsored by Focus on the Family. Go to dayofdialogue.com. But in my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, the chapter on children's education, which is then followed by a chapter on campus life. It's called Boys Will Be Girls Will Be Boys. Here's my poem. It's called Here at School, the Slant is Gay. Little Johnny went to school there to learn a brand new rule. No longer could the boys be boys or have their special trucks and toys. Only six, so young and tender. It's time for him to unlearn gender and break the binding two-sex mold, that hurtful thinking that's so old. Parents at home can have their say, but here at school, the slant is gay. In other words, to make this clear, there's nothing wrong with being queer. Having two moms is mighty fine. To disagree is out of line. We'll deconstruct the family and smash religious bigotry and keep the church out of the state by saying faith is really hate. Free speech can only go one way, since here at school, the slant is gay. So little ones, it's time to learn about famous queers, each one in turn. Lesbian greats, long neglected, well-known gays just now detected. Some perhaps were man-boy lovers. We'll keep that stuff under the covers. Glisten. Gay, Lesbian, Straight Education Network. Glisten will fill in for Granny and help kids find their inner tranny. Those born in a body that's wrong will hear of sex change before long. And through the years, as Johnny grows, he will learn that anything goes with Bill, who's trans, and Joe, who's bi, and Sue, who thinks that she's a guy. United in the Day of Silence, joining the Gay Straight Alliance, a queer new system rules the day, since here at school, the slant is gay. Not a syllable of that poem is exaggerated. I'll tell you how you can get a copy of A Queer Thing Happened to America in a moment if you don't yet have one. Justin, also in Houston, Texas, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you, Dr. Brown.
You're welcome, sir.
I was just thinking earlier about what's allowing this to happen. And I was thinking, is it the people who are allowing it to happen, is it because they're opposed to the gospel, that they're not, you know, that they're letting this happen? And I was thinking that, you know, we should, when we go out there to attack, like the lady was saying, we need to stand up and we need to go to the schools. I think we need to expose the hypocrisy, not even try to tell them, oh, well, you know, being gay is wrong and all that stuff, which the Bible clearly says it is, but shine the light on the hypocrisy. How is it that you're letting them do what they say we can't do? They're doing the very same thing. So how, you know, that's,
oh, yeah,
I think
it,
if we expose that, you know.
It's a day of silencing of other views. I wrote an article a couple weeks back exposing the hypocrisy of GLAAD, the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Disagreement, as I call them, that they will sponsor back all kinds of bashing of other views and bashing of Christian views and biblical views, and that's just fine. But dare to say that you differ with homosexual practice and, oh, no, you're going to be blacklisted and so on. Of course it's hypocrisy. And in point of fact, we will see, unless there is a societal awakening in the next few years, we will see the bullying going in the exact opposite direction. Those who used to be bullies, bullied, will become the bullies. And it's already happening within schools now. I know kids still get the short end of the stick for if they're different. They're still getting bullied and picked on for a host of different reasons. In many other schools, though, it's cool to come out. Justin, I had a middle school teacher, and she was actually not critical of this. A middle school teacher telling about 12-year-olds in her school who were coming out as gay and lesbian, and she said it's the cool thing to do. In fact, she said one boy came out as gay, and then a couple days later came back and said, I think I made a mistake. Can I take that back? I mean, yeah, you may have someone that says, yeah, I came out when I was 12, and I've been gay ever since, and I'm 30 or 40. But the amount of kids that are confused about sexuality at those ages, the amount of kids that don't really understand what's happening in their own bodies and their own emotions is pretty high. And yet they're being encouraged not just to have an identity, but an identity with certain behaviors. And you're not allowed to say anything. You know, those behaviors can be dangerous. You know, it's not, if you just look at statistically, there are a lot of health risks with men being with men and so on, and there's a lot more promiscuity. No, you're not allowed to say that. If it was cigarette smoking, you can talk about that. Right. If it was eating unhealthy foods, you can talk about that. If it's unsafe sexual behavior between two people of the same sex, you can't talk about that.
There's a ship, you know, it has a flag and it says America on it. What has holes in it that's taken on water, and that's one of them. And it's going to go down.
Yeah, we need nothing less than sweeping revival. Thank you, sir. My heart is set in trusting God. My heart is set in believing God for sweeping revival. But friends, let us be sober. This is not a game. We're talking about our kids. We're talking about our grandkids. For some of you, your great-grandkids. For some of you, your siblings, your brothers, sisters. For some, I'm speaking to you as well, students, kids. Let's stand up and do what's right. No, let's not be intimidated by people saying we're being mean-spirited, bullied. No. Let us not be silenced. When people say, when you talk about what the Bible says, kids are going to kill themselves. No, we have a message that saves people from death. We have a message that saves people from suicide. We have a message that saves people from hopelessness. It's the message of Jesus, and we will not back down or be ashamed. All right, friends, if you are not one of our torchbearers, one of our faithful monthly supporters that stands with us with at least $25 or more per month, we sow back into you, friends. We send a new CD or DVD every month, along with a letter of update and encouragement. We give you 15% discount on all of your purchases in our online bookstore and free access to our online classes, which are normally $50 a class. You get free, unlimited access. What I want to do as my thank you to everyone who becomes a torchbearer today and makes this commitment, I want to send you a free copy of A Queer Thing Happened to America, which is a $27.99 hardcover, almost 700 pages, extraordinarily eye-opening, life-impacting book. I want to send that to you as my thank you to everyone that becomes a monthly supporter. And my thank you to anyone that sends in a one-time donation just to stand with us and help us. The extraordinary book, edited by Sid Roth, they thought for themselves 10 amazing Jewish testimonies. Mine is in here as well. One of the most amazing evangelistic tools that's ever been produced for Jewish ministry. My thank you for your gift of any size, a copy of They Thought for Themselves. But call today to stand with us. We could really use your support and help as we are stretched out on the front lines. 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line, friends, when our schools are infiltrated with gay activist propaganda, how can we stay on the sidelines? How can we find an excuse not to get involved? We're talking about our kids. We're talking about our tax-funded schools. Now is the time to take holy, godly action in opposing the gay activist Day of Silence. Well, there's no better way to start the week than opening up the Word together. Some life-changing insights from the Word of God today, right here.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I just spent the last hour sounding the alarm about the Gay Activist Day of Silence coming to schools all over America on April 20th. Now I want to raise my voice like a trumpet as per Isaiah 58 and declare to you the truths of God's Word, the life-changing truths of God's Word. I want to minister to your innermost being today with spiritual truths so you can be built up, strengthened, rather than being changed by the world. You can go and be a world changer. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us this Monday here on The Line of Fire. Here's the number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. You know what I want to do also? I haven't done this in a while, but I'm going to extend our Friday broadcast. You've got questions, we've got answers. I'm going to extend that over till today. And if you've got some questions that you'd like to ask, biblically related questions focused on the Word, things you've wondered about, haven't had a chance to ask, I'm going to open the phones. Here's the number, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Once more, 866-348-7884 to join the broadcast. Here's what Jesus said to his disciples after he rose from the dead, before he ascended to heaven. And I want you to hear these words spoken by the Son of God himself, Matthew 28:18. All authority in heaven and earth is given to me. Can I say those words again? All authority in heaven and earth is given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of the nations, teaching them to observe everything I've taught you, right? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. This is all we need to know. This is our sacred, holy equipment. This is what prepares us for spiritual battle. We are not fighting natural enemies. We are not attacking people. We are not trying to do damage to people. We are not going through the book of Joshua and now declaring holy war on people today, and we're going to fight them with guns and knives and bombs and intimidation and numbers. No, our weapons are spiritual. It's a real war. It's a real war. It's a real battle, but our weapons are spiritual. And this is all we need to know. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to Jesus. That means that you and I, alone in our houses, on our knees, praying, crying out to God, and praying in faith in the name of Jesus, or speaking forth his name in faith, and declaring his word, that there is more potential authority there than in all the nuclear armaments in the world, and in all the power of the media, and in all the power of politics. All authority is given to Jesus. That means it does not matter what's happening in our society. Oh, it matters in terms of how it affects our everyday lives. But whatever forces are rising in power, whatever influences are rising in power, ultimately it does not matter in terms of the victory of the people of God, because Jesus is Lord. Jesus is King, and all authority in heaven and earth is given to him, not to benefit us so that we can rule using his name and become big shots. No. To advance his purposes in the earth. Yes, all authority. It's the truth, the gospel truth.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on The Line of Fire. I'm sharing some encouraging insights and truths from God's Word. When you understand the authority of Jesus, it affects how you live. It affects your mindset. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, online, askdrbrown.org. I feel, and this is not some big genius revelation here, I feel that God's people often do better as a persecuted minority as opposed to as a ruling majority. Now, I'm all for us having our influence, and I do hope that we can successfully have influence for the kingdom and hold up our values and the things that are precious to us from the Lord and His standards and bring about societal change. I'd love to see that happen through the gospel having its influence in society. But often when we have more authority, political power, numerical power, those kinds of things, often what happens is that we tend to rely on that. We rely on our numbers, we rely on our influence, we rely on our finances, we rely on our votes, we rely on these other things as opposed to relying on the Lord Himself, on His power and His grace and His anointing working in us, the authority of His Word, His truth. And often when we are beaten down and when we have very little in this world, we look to Jesus and Him alone and things happen on a radical basis. 866-34-TRUTH. Real quick, Andrew, a caller asking about the poem I read from A Queer Thing Happened to America. It's in my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America. That's where you can find the poem Here at School, The Slant is Gay. You may also find it on aqueerthing.com. It may be posted there as well. We have some chapter samples, so check there, A Queer Thing.com, as I was sounding the alarm about the Gay Activist Day of Silence in our schools across America on April 20th. But that ties in with something I want to mention here. There is bullying against believers. There is bullying and intimidation against our position. But I never think of myself as someone being bullied. Even if, and you might say, well, what does it matter? You're in the, you know, you're a white male and, you know, you're the ruling class and all, you can't relate to. Okay, I understand that perspective. I also know what it's like to stand for truth and get maligned and attacked from every different angle. But in point of fact, friends, in countries where Christians are the decided minority, where there is persecution, where there are death threats, I still don't feel like we are the underdog, because in Jesus we're overcomers. There's always that mentality in me that in Jesus we're overcomers, that in Jesus we're more than conquerors, that the greater one lives inside of us, that whoever's born of God, 1 John 5:4, whoever's born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory by which we overcome the world, even our faith. We're talking about faith in Almighty God. We're talking about faith in Jesus, to whom all authority in heaven and earth has been given. We're talking about faith in the one who created everything there is and by whose word the whole universe holds together. How can it be that we look, well, hopefully, I don't know, it's looking, yeah, a lot of stuff looks really bad in the world. A lot of stuff looks really bad in the society. Absolutely. But God, those are the defining words. Those are the words that make all the difference. And when we take hold of that reality, Jesus said He will build His congregation, He will build His church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You may have heard different views of that gates of hell aren't gates, defensive weapons versus offensive weapons. In other words, as God's people go marching through the gates of hell itself, they will not prevail against the people of God. Not by human effort, just, you know, we're going to fight hard and work harder and get more involved politically. Yeah, we should get involved politically as part of what we do, but our great emphasis is spiritual first, prayer, taking hold of God, believing God's word, speaking forth the name of Jesus, and then holy action that follows it, which is overcoming evil with good, which is overcoming hatred with love, which is overcoming lies with truth, which is overcoming darkness with light. Friends, it's irresistible. It's irresistible. 866-34-TRUTH. I'm opening the phones today as I do on Friday. You've got questions. We've got answers. I'm going to take a number of calls, even answer a few questions as well. David in Atlanta, Georgia, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
I was wondering, I've seen this. He's an Orthodox rabbi on three or four different TV shows, Christian TV shows, and he wrote a book on the Ten Commandments, I think, and his name is Daniel Lappin.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. Is he a believer in Jesus as Messiah or not? I mean, I just wondered.
No, David, he's not a believer in Jesus, and he never gives anyone that impression. In other words, there's nothing deceitful about him. He is an Orthodox rabbi, siding with, standing with evangelical Christians for moral issues. I don't know him personally. One of my rabbi friends says he's a tremendous man with a tremendous family. So he himself is a religious Orthodox Jew. He does not believe in Jesus as Messiah.
Okay.
I hope that being around so many evangelical Christians, he's learned positive things about Jesus. But he believes in standing together for moral purposes, and his material is highly recommended in that regard. As an Orthodox rabbi, standing for morality, standing for the place of God in our society, and standing together with believing Christians for that. And we can pray for him to come into the fullness of God's light concerning Jesus Yeshua. But he's a fine man in terms of doing what he does and doing it well.
Yes, sir. Thank you. He comes off on the TV as a nice man, a religiously observant Jewish fellow and all. But I just wondered. I'd never heard him say that he was a Christian, so I just wondered.
Yeah, and by the way, he's far better known in Christian circles than in Jewish circles. This is really his niche. But thank you, David, for the call. 866-34-TRUTH. Before I go back to the word, those of you who follow golf will know that Bubba Watson, no, he's not from New York and New Jersey. They don't nickname you Bubba up there. Bubba Watson from the Florida Panhandle won the Masters golf tournament over the weekend and won it in a sensational way. And Bubba Watson, according to an article, CharismaNews.com, Bubba Watson lets his light shine. This is what he tweeted. This is the message that he sent out on Twitter before playing the final round. So this is one of the most prestigious golf tournaments in the world, and now he's close to the front. He's got a potential to win. He sends out this note in terms of the things that are most important in his life. Ready? Most important things in my life: 1, God; 2, wife; 3, family; 4, helping others; 5, golf. This is before the most important day of his life in golf. This article by Trevor Freeze says there's something different about Bubba Watson, and he doesn't care if you know it. The PGA golfer, who ranked 18th in the latest world golf rankings, probably higher now after his victory, realizes he's not like most famous athletes. In fact, he welcomes it. People always ask, why is Bubba different? They're just trying to figure it out. According to him, he's never had a coach. He's never had a golf lesson. Watson is an outspoken Christian golfer, and he uses his Twitter account, along with his platform as one of the PGA Tour's magnetic personalities, to share about his faith in Christ. For me, it's just showing the light, the 33-year-old said. There's people who want to put down Christians. I try to tell them Jesus loves you. It's just a way to be strong in my faith. Last April, just before teeing off on the final round of the Masters, so a year ago, Watson took advantage of his social media platform to tweet out 2 Bible verses on Sunday morning. He followed that up talking about his faith, his relationship with God, tweeting out more verses, and the impact of Christian artists on his iPod. Some started complaining about his 140-character witnessing tactics. For those not familiar, when you tweet, that's the limit, 140 characters. But Watson's response was simple. Feel free to unfollow, but the talk about God wasn't going away. Some 100 people quit following him, and in true Bubba style, he reached out and wished them well with goodbye notes. This past month, more Christian haters have tried to derail Watson's testimony, or as he mildly puts it, write bad stuff. But Watson doesn't take offense, even when it's the sole intent. When someone tells him your God tweets are lame, Watson responded with, I will pray for you and your family. Among the 39,000 plus messages he sent into the Twitter sphere, he's sure to spread the gospel message. God made everything and saved us from our sins and gives us hope and gives us eternal life. Sometimes he'll tweet out some of his favorite verses, Hebrews 13:6. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere man do to me? Before the third round, so yesterday was the last round, the fourth round, before the third round, he said the most important thing in my life, answer after I golf 18 holes with Justin Rose, God is good. Great testimony. Wonderful to see it proclaimed loudly and boldly. Back with more.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I am encouraging you by the Word of God, by the truths of God today, speaking life to your spirit, to your heart, to your mind, to your soul, so that rather than being overcome by the world, you can be an overcomer. Rather than being changed by the world, you can be a world changer. I remind you of what Catherine Booth said, co-founder of the Salvation Army, along with William Booth. She said, the waters are rising, but so am I. I'm not going under, but over. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us today on The Line of Fire. You know, I was praying and thinking yesterday, Lord, you give me the privilege of being on the radio. Give me the privilege of speaking to people all over America and by internet all over the world. You've laid this on my heart for years. This is something you've called me to do. This is something I burn to do. But God, I don't just want to speak words. I want to make an impact. I want the words to make an impact on the listeners. I want listeners to be changed and helped and strengthened by the broadcast. Otherwise, why be on the air? Sometimes I'll be driving home and maybe just chilling for a couple of minutes and flip on talk radio and flipping around to different stations and sometimes I'll just listen to some sports talk radio for just a few minutes, And I always say to myself, it's about nothing. I mean, I'll listen with a smile, just it's about nothing. In other words, it's just talking about stuff of interest, and the hosts do a great job, and people call in, and they want to weigh in on this subject or that subject or this team or that team, but it's ultimately all about nothing. You know what I'm saying? It's ultimately all about nothing. And at the end of the day, no one has been changed by it in terms of spiritual. Well, it's obviously not the goal of sports radio is to change you spiritually. But so much of what we do and so much of what's on the air is really just filler. It's just keep you occupied. I don't want to just keep you occupied. By God's grace, I want to help you. I want to strengthen you, edify you. Just got this testimony a moment ago emailed to me. I just talked to someone yesterday in an Easter cookout who had questions about the reliability of the Old Testament. She said she used to have many questions about Jesus and how can we know he was Messiah, but then she went or watched, can't remember, she said it was live, a debate between me and a rabbi and learned so much from it. So just neat to hear that we do these debates, we do what we do, not just to fill time, but to make an impact. All authority in heaven and earth is given to Jesus. I want you to consider something in terms of how we should live, what our mindset should be. Listen to what Paul writes. In light of our victory in Jesus, in light of the fact that death has lost its sting, he said, well, easy to you for you to say you're healthy, your family's healthy. Well, I've been with believers who've lost loved ones at early ages. I've been with believers burying their infants. I've been with widows burying their young husbands. Yeah, in other words, real life, and there is pain and there is loss, but death has lost its sting. Something is different when you know Jesus and when you're in the Lord. And look at what Paul writes. Paul certainly went through it. Paul suffered things that none of us have ever suffered. And listen to what he writes. Listen to these extraordinary words. What then shall we say in response to this, in response to God saving and calling and justifying and predestining and glorifying? What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? It's not just religious words. You know, we get all psyched singing at a church service, God be for me, who can be against me? God's for me, who can be against me? And then, you know, we go out and kind of run into a wall and get discouraged and hopeless. Now, these are not just words that we get hyped up with. This is true. Oh, if we could only take hold of this, if I could only take hold of this more deeply and just recognize who God is and recognize our relationship to him and recognize what that means. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, Paul writes in Romans 8, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Messiah Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No! In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Messiah Jesus our Lord. You can bank on this, friends. It's true. Whenever I hear of someone falling away from the Lord, turning away from the Lord, losing faith, getting picked off by the enemy, my heart hurts for that. But this much I know, these words remain true. This much I know, everything written here is 100% true, and God is always faithful. The fault is never, ever on his end. And while we have compassion for those who struggle, while we have compassion for those who go through valleys of doubt, while we have compassion for those who lose hope, we never fault God. We never think, well, he must have done something wrong. Friends, when you're discouraged, when you're beaten down, just read these words over and again. Get alone in the presence of God and read these words. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Those are formidable foes. Those are great difficulties. Those are not easy things to go through. As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. This is gospel truth, friends. This is not just something that was celebrated in churches yesterday and Resurrection Sunday. This is gospel truth. I want to give an opportunity for you to stand with me. This is listener-sponsored radio. And as you give, you help us reach more and more people, and you lift a lot of burdens off of us and off of me. So there's an extraordinary book that was edited by my friend Sid Roth. It's been given away to well over a million Jews, approaching 2 million Jews in Russia and America, with amazing fruit and testimonies, 10 amazing Jewish stories. Mine is in here as well. The book is They Thought for Themselves. I'm not selling it. Your gift of any size to help in this work, this outreach work, this radio ministry that we do, standing as a voice of moral, cultural, spiritual revolution, reaching the lost sheep of the house of Israel, helping to spark revival in the hearts of God's people, helping to raise up, equip, and send out missionaries around the world through our school. This radio broadcast is the hub of it all. Your gift of any size, we will send you as a thank you, Sid Roth edited book, They Thought for Themselves, 10 amazing Jewish stories, including mine. Call right now to sow into our work. Your gift of any size will help us immensely. 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. If we're being a blessing to you, stand with us so we can bless many more. 1-800-278-9978. Back with much more.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you for joining us today on the Line of Fire. The Word of God says in Ephesians 5 that the Word speaks of us being washed by the Word. Proverbs, the third chapter, says the Word is a tree of life. Psalm 119 says God's Word is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. Hebrews 4 says God's Word is living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword. Today on the Line of Fire, just sharing some thoughts from Scripture to edify you, to strengthen you, to start your week with a spiritual bang so that you can recognize in Jesus you are an overcomer, that you can recognize in Jesus you have been seated in heavenly places with the Messiah, that you can recognize in Jesus we have authority over the works of darkness. We have power over Satan, who comes to rob and steal and kill and destroy. We can resist him steadfast in the faith in Jesus, and rather than being swallowed up, we can be overcomers. Thanks for joining us today, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, online, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. Hey, I'm doing one other thing today. Normally do this on Fridays only, but figured I'd extend it as we're opening up Scripture today. You've got questions, we've got answers. If you'd like to call me with anything you're wrestling with scripturally, practically, ministry-wise, practical living, questions you're wrestling with in the Word, trying to understand something controversial, difficult, I'll take some calls as well. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Now, I want to give you another amazing principle from the life of Jesus. Paul tells us in Philippians, the second chapter, that we should have the same mindset, the same attitude that was in Messiah Jesus. Now, even though he was in the form of God, he didn't think that this was something he had to hold on to or take by force. Rather, what does it say? He made himself nothing, Philippians 2, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Why didn't he fight? Why didn't he have his servants fight? Why didn't he call 12,000 angels to rescue him from the cross? There he is, subject to public mockery. There he is, and it looks like he's been forsaken. Many of you this past weekend celebrated Good Friday, commemorated the resurrection of Jesus, and then Resurrection Sunday, and many of you did it within the context of the Passover season, which is when Messiah died as our Passover lamb and rose in conjunction with the first fruits celebration within Passover. Why didn't he fight? Well, it was the will of God that he died. He was dying for our sins. Yes, I understand that. But doesn't everything in you want vindication when you're being maligned? Think of how you feel when people spread something false about you in your neighborhood, or when people believe false things about you in your place of business, or when people believe lies about you in your home church, or when people believe lies about you in your school. Think of how you feel. The natural part of us, our human nature, we want to set that straight. We want people to know the truth. No, that's not true. No, I didn't say that. No, I didn't do that. No, I'm not the one responsible for that. No, it was somebody else. We don't want to be misjudged. We don't want to be misunderstood. We don't want to be falsely maligned. That's our human nature, and it's understandable. And part of that is a desire for truth and justice, along with a desire for personal vindication. Why did Jesus go all the way to the cross? Because he knew it was on the other side, because he knew he was going to be raised up. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus, the Messiah, is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He went down to the very depths, dying a criminal's death, dying the lowest, most barbaric, humiliating form of death known in the ancient world. He went that low, and he was raised to the highest place in the universe. Don't be afraid of suffering for the truth. Don't be afraid of being misrepresented and lied about. Keep the attitude of Jesus, and God will raise you up with him. Change the world.
God of light, hear our cry. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You see, it's essential, friends, that we have the mindset that Jesus had. If we know our lives are in right relationship with God, if God is for us, who can be against us? It's one thing if we're living in sin and disobedience, we can't have confidence in a clear conscience. But if we're seeking to please the Lord, if when we fall short, we repent and make things right before God and man, we can have this confidence that we're his people. In Romans 8, if God is for us, who can be against us? Who can bring an accusation against us to God? Who can badmouth us, malign us, put us down before God? When it happens, if God knows the truth, yeah, there may be a time to respond. Sometimes there's a time to answer critics. Sometimes it's appropriate to set the record straight, especially if other lives are involved and we're not just doing it for our own reputation. But friends, if God is for us, who can be against us? That's not just religious hype. Those are not just words on a page. That's as true as God himself. Take hold of it. Bask in it. Live with that confidence. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. This first day of the week, I've been sharing some scriptural truths, beginning with Matthew 28 at the beginning of the hour. Matthew 28, that all authority in heaven and earth is given to Jesus. And then Romans 8, if God's for us, who can be against us? Who can separate us from the love of Messiah? Now Philippians 2, to have the same mindset as Jesus. And yes, he went to the very lowest place. He suffered a criminal's death on the cross, hanging naked shamefully for us, bearing our sin, appearing to be cast off by God. But because he went to that depth, he was raised up. He was raised up to the highest place in the universe. And therefore, we have that same attitude when we're persecuted, when people come against us, when we're mocked, when we have to humble ourselves and get low for the sake of the gospel. We do it joyfully, following in the footsteps of Jesus, secure in our relationship in the Lord. 866-34-TRUTH. First hour, I sounded the alarm about the day of silence coming to schools near you. Please listen to that broadcast. You can listen later this afternoon going to the Line of Fire website. That's askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. Be sure that you know what's happening. Is the Day of Silence, a gay activist propaganda day, coming to your schools April 20th. Check on that. And then go to missionamerica.com for information in terms of what you can do. Missionamerica.com. To the phones, as we are opening up the phones, you've got questions, we've got answers. We're going to do this on Friday, but decided to do it today as well. Lucas in Salt Lake City, Utah, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Dr. Brown, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Good. My question today was just, I'm speaking on 1 Peter chapter 2, and he's talking directly to slaves in the context. And, you know, I'm also a student, too, and we, you know, get bombarded with a lot of civil disobedience, different things of that nature, where you've got these icons such as Dr. Martin Luther King, and you have people as Thoreau and Gandhi. Mm-hmm. And, you know, where does that play in a part in Scripture where, you know, Christ did all these things and he laid down his rightful place as king and ruler.
Yep.
And then you also have Peter talking to the church in Asia Minor and slaves in particular and telling them, you know, it is credible to God. You know, he commends it if you endure unjust suffering. And is there a line there where it's enduring unjust suffering and then you're being a pushover, or how do you view that?
Yeah, and within 1 Peter 2, there are other explicit commands in terms of obeying the king and submitting ourselves to earthly authorities. And, of course, Thoreau has a whole treatise on civil disobedience and then the teachings of King and Gandhi that you mentioned. I take it these are college classes you're talking about as a student? Or okay. I prefer to talk about biblical obedience as opposed to civil disobedience for these very reasons. It puts us in the context of obeying God and doing what's right as opposed to civil disobedience. Now, the principle of civil disobedience is found in Scripture numerous times, when people are told to disobey their conscience or disobey God's word. So the midwives responsible for killing the Hebrew baby boys in Exodus, they refused to do that, and God blessed them for it. The three Hebrew young men that refused to bow down to the idol in Daniel, the third chapter, God blessed them for their obedience. And you have in Acts chapter 4 and 5, when the apostles are told, do not speak anymore in the name of Jesus. This is what the civil and religious authorities are telling them. They say, we have to obey God rather than man. Watchman Nee put it like this: submission is always mandatory, but obedience is optional, meaning we always have an attitude of submission to the authorities, even when the authorities tell us to do something we cannot do. We have an attitude of submission, but if we have to disobey God in the process, then we have to say no to them. But our attitude is one of submission, and we may end up getting thrown in jail for it because of that authority's power. So I look at it in a few ways. The Bible commands us to do certain things. Anything that stands in the way of our devotion to God and fulfilling the Great Commission, we have to respectfully disobey the authorities. If we live in a communist country or a Muslim country where it's illegal to share the gospel, with all respect, we are still going to share the gospel. If we live somewhere where it's illegal to baptize people or to study the scriptures or to gather for prayer, we're going to do those things because scripture commands us to. Scripture also commands us to rescue those who are perishing in Proverbs, the 24th chapter, and to pursue life. Therefore, in many ways, we have to stand against our society to stand up for life, for babies in the womb. And there are people who have done things righteously in front of abortion clinics and been arrested for it, but they felt they had to take a stand in pursuit of life. These are things that we have to walk through. If I was silenced from speaking the truth about moral and social issues, and I was burdened to speak the truth, then I have to do it regardless of cost or consequence. So I prefer to put the emphasis on biblical obedience, and then to emphasize that we are always called to be submitted to authority. But when the lower authority tells us to disobey the higher authority, we have to obey the higher authority. In other words, I don't want to cultivate a spirit of rebellion in people. I know with the American War of Independence against Britain that there was a slogan that rebellion against tyrants is obedience to God. But I prefer not to put the emphasis on rebellion because that's a bad word in Scripture. I put it on obedience. So if, let's say that you're a private in the military and your immediate supervisor gives you an order to do a certain thing, but the general says, no, I've given you this assignment, then you say to the person over you, with all respect, sir, I have to obey the general. And that's how we live. And when the society tells us either to violate the written word or to violate something that God has spoken to us that we have to hold to by our own conscience, then with all respect, we say, sorry, but we have to obey God. And we work it out accordingly. I'm not for one to just do all kinds of protests and demonstrations, but I am one to be sensitive to the matters of conscience and matters of Scripture that God's put in my heart. And when someone's going to try to restrict me from doing that, sorry, but I have to do what's right.
Excellent.
All right.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You bet. God bless you, Lucas. Thanks for a great question. 866-34-TRUTH. Kevin in Cleveland, Ohio, thanks for calling the Line of Fire. Yes, Kevin, are you there? Kevin's gone. Kevin is gone. Stephen in Philly, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. My story is about 30 years long. I'm 36 years old, but I'm going to cut it short. You partially answered my question with your previous response, but you had a discussion about gay lifestyle and the challenges facing with that. Mm-hmm. I have led a pretty secret life because I come from a culture very secret, very similar to Middle Eastern culture. And, the fear factor and everything else associated with that lives inside of me. At the same time, I also accepted Jesus as my Savior when I was 18, but I strayed away from my calling. And I got into a relationship with somebody. And eventually this individual got married. But while I was engaged in this relationship, I was always very, very guilty because I knew the scripture. I understood what God had called me for, and I was supposed to be separated for the purpose of God. But I messed up my calling, and I felt guilty. And because of that guilt, I started getting into alcohol and drugs and more immorality. And this guilt got to a point where I didn't want to continue living anymore. But then I started reading the scripture again, and my calling was in my heart all the time. And I started reestablishing my calling, and I broke up the relationship. And I'm trying to live a life which is more pleasing to God, because
Stephen, stay right there. Stay right there. I want to talk to you on the other side of the break. So if you could get us right up to where you are, we come back on the other side of the break. I would love to minister God's grace and truth and hope to your soul, sir. Stay with us.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the Line of Fire. If you missed any of the broadcast today, I really encourage you to go to our website later this afternoon at AskDrBrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. Catch the whole program. First hour, very, very important information about the Day of Silence, gay activists, Propaganda Day coming to perhaps 8,000 schools across America, middle schools, high schools, maybe even some elementary schools. At least that's being talked about. Find out if it's happening in your school. Find out more by listening to the program. And then over the last 45 minutes, we've been opening up the scriptures and encouraging you with truth from God's word. Everything else is shifting sand. Our emotions, we can be up and down. I want to get right back to Stephen in Philadelphia, but let me say this first to everybody. Our emotions can be incredibly fickle. You can be flying high 1 minute and down in the dumps the next minute, and circumstances haven't even changed. And then circumstances can be deceiving because they are not the final word. God has the final word. God can bring life out of death. God can bring health out of sickness. God can bring triumph out of tragedy. He can do it. He's God. When we entrust our lives to Him, no one says it's just going to be like some extended vacation, but you better believe it will be blessed when our lives are given over to Him. 866-34-TRUTH. All right, Stephen in Philly, I really appreciate you opening up on the air. So you're talking about, you got out of the wrong relationship you were in, drugs, drinking because of discouragement, guilt. You're recognizing that God's hand is still on your life. So where are you at right now, sir?
Right now, I'm reading the scripture. I'm praying, and I want to believe. I know God has died for me, and He's shed His blood for me to forgive my sins. But it is very difficult for me with the amount of sins that I've committed. It is so dark in my mind and my heart that, you know, that migration from mind to heart, it's just so difficult for me to just to accept that God has forgiven me completely. And also the guilt adds, because this person, individual with whom I had a relationship, he is not a born-again Christian. And I tried to speak the scripture to him to help him understand why I was trying to move away from this. And he didn't understand. So he got hurt. And no matter how much I seek forgiveness from him also, and with everybody else I've heard, he's not ready to forgive me, so he's moved away. I don't know what's happening. And although in one sense it's fine, because I trust in the hand of God, saying, okay, my God's going to do everything right for me. But at the same time, the guilt still, it just never leaves me. So my question, there's a lot of hidden questions in there, but the primary thing is, how do I surrender? I just want to just give in. I don't want to move in the presence of God.
Yeah, first, I just want to ask those that are listening to pray for Stephen right now or when the show ends, to lift him up before the Lord, that he would get a revelation of the love of God and the goodness of God and the fact that Jesus paid for all of his sins. Stephen, let me say a few things to you. First, getting forgiveness from this person that you were in a wrong relationship with is totally different than getting forgiveness from God. Completely different. And you have to separate those two things. And ultimately, it's good that this person has moved away and has moved on, because otherwise there could always be the temptation or pull to drag you back. But Stephen, let me ask you this. How many people have you been responsible for killing as believers? I assume the answer is none, correct?
None.
Okay. Saul of Tarsus was responsible for killing believers, and yet God had mercy on him and raised him up to be the Apostle Paul. King David sinned in ways beyond what we've ever done because he was the king. He had position and authority beyond anything we have. He sinned grievously, and yet we still read his words in the Psalms today. He repented, and God forgave him, and God still referred to him as a man after his own heart. Moses killed someone, and he was raised up as the great deliverer in Scripture. Peter denied Jesus vehemently with oaths and cursing, denied Jesus, and Jesus raised him up as the lead apostle among the 11. So all that to say, Stephen, that the enemy has tried to take you out, but he's failed. He's tried to destroy your life, and he's failed. And the biggest thing to take hold of, the biggest thing to take hold of is his deep personal love for you, that all the time you were straying, his heart went out to you. I'd encourage you to read Luke 15, the story of the prodigal son, and with two other parables there. Read that over and over and over, because the Father longs to bless you. The Father longs to smile on you. The Father longs to affirm you as his son. And many people have sinned grievously in so many different ways. I'm more conscious of God's mercy on my life as a believer than I'm conscious of God's mercy on my life from before I was saved. So I want to strongly encourage you that God is for you, not against you, that he desires to have mercy on you, that he longs to have fellowship with you. And if you'll open your heart to him, he will absolutely affirm his love. What you have to do is just determine to believe his forgiveness. Is the blood of Jesus not powerful enough to forgive you, not powerful enough to redeem you, not powerful enough to wash you? Absolutely, certainly not. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from every sin. And there's no sin too great that God's mercy cannot reach out as we turn to him. He forgives Stephen, and he forgets, and he looks at you as a shining young man with tremendous hope as you live for him. In fact, it's the sense of gratitude that you have that can carry you over. And let me do this, Stephen. Again, friends, let's pray for God's work to be in Stephen's heart and life. Joey, when Andrew is free, have him get Stephen's contact info. I want to send you a book or a CD. I want to see what we have in stock that would really minister God's love to you, all right? So, Andrew, get Stephen's contact info. I want to send something his way that will minister the love of God to his soul. The forgiveness of God is so great. We never deserve it in a trillion lives, friends, but that's who he is. All right, friends, something special we're doing today. An amazing book, an amazing Sid Roth book. He edited it, 10 amazing Jewish stories. My story is in here too, testimonies and amazing stories. I think 2 million in print now, gone to over a million Jewish homes around America and Russia. Your gift of any size whatsoever, to help us with this ministry work, to help us on the line of fire with the importance of this broadcast. You know the importance. It's listener-supported, listener-sponsored. Your gift of any size, my thank you to you this week, will be Sid's book, They Thought for Themselves. 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. How great is the love of God? Saving us from our sins, saving us from our lostness, saving us from our rebellion, saving us from darkness, and then making us children of God, sons and daughters of God, brothers and sisters of Jesus. That's how great the love of God is.